rurally, I guess there's more stuff available than there is local, like in urban centers. So like if you're in an urban center, it's a lot harder to get certain stuff than it is to get other stuff. So we'll see.
We can't get wipes, but that's about it. You know what else is crazy? You can't get isopropyl alcohol.
Okay.
Just regular like isopropyl, but it's crazy because like the reason you can't get isopropyl alcohol is because people started buying it to make their own hand sanitizer. But now you can buy hand sanitizer in the suburbs, but still you cannot buy isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
So it's like there's still some DIY people are like, no, I like mine better.
Yeah.
I just straight up like mine better. It's just, I'm just keeping it.
Yeah. I've heard that I've had yeast since the beginning because I've had plenty of yeast in the house because I'm a baker, but I hear that that's also in tight supply too and hard to get.
I find that super funny because bread is not hard to get.
Right.
But like the also ingredients.
Yeast is not hard to get either. You can get yeast anywhere. Yeast is right. It's in the air.
That's true.
So you can get it anywhere, but
it cracks me up that like people are like making more bread than they made before.
Yeah.
Even though like the same amount of store bread that was okay. Like the amount of bread I eat did not go up.
Sure.
My bread needs have not increased.
Yeah, yeah.
But it amuses me to no end that like bread ingredients are at high demand, but bread itself is plentiful.
Yeah.
If I was a bread maker before, what is like, you know what I mean? Like what has changed? I understand like making bread.
Time on your hands to make stuff. And you just think, I got to try. I've never made bread. So I'm going to try it before you know what I mean? Like, God damn,
I guess I forget about that. Cause like,
you don't have any time on your hands.
I don't have any time. Yeah. It was funny. See, so like my friends, like my buddy in California and my other buddy of mine were like on a text thread and they're like, oh, have you guys gone back to work yet? And I was like, I haven't left work.
Yeah.
Like I have no more free time. The pandemic in no way changed my free time. All it did was ruin date night. Yeah. What it did is it fucked up my studio time on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it fucked up my date night on Wednesday. Literally nothing else has changed except for I wasted money on Cirque du Soleil tickets.
Yeah.
Because I'm still going to work. Like, I still have my kids when I am on the same schedule.
Right,
like
right.
All the rest of my life components have stayed fundamentally the same. So like, except for like on Wednesday, it's date night. And I'm like, hey, you want to go fuck downstairs? Like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
you know, like that's
now.
It. Like we can order in.
Yeah.
That's all I got for you. You know, like that's it. And I don't get to go to the studio and hang out. Yeah, so
I'm going to go back to the studio in about, what's that?
They see you now.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Hey.
We're just chatting. I am probably going to move back to the studio in a couple weeks, I think. Maybe 3 weeks or so, depends. But I am certainly going to be moving back to the studio soon. This arrangement that is in my living room is just not going to work.
Not working.
The thing is like there's got to be a few other things that have to fall into place. But at a certain point, I will have a station here at home that is not a recording station, that is a workstation. And that will be where I work from during the day because at this point, they're not even talking about opening up where I work. They sent out a survey though today about whether or not I would feel comfortable if I were to come back to work. Very nice, long survey.
The difference between your workplace and mine
I know.
Could not possibly be more vast.
I know, but they were so sweet about it. It was a 9-page survey about I feel good or bad about what's happening and what I should plan to, you know, it was just great. And so
are you exaggerating?
No, it was 9 pages long, short pages though. They weren't long pages. They were, one question a piece. So 9-page questionnaire, but with one question. And then they asked a really weird one though. They said, what would be at minimum you would want to have happen for you to go back to work? And they listed all of these things that you could do to help make sure that the coronavirus wouldn't spread through the workplace. And I checked them all. And I was like, but at minimum, I want them all. I just thought about it. I was like, at minimum, I want them all. They sent out a big long thing today. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Oh. Hope you guys are enjoying tonight. So that's that. But I will be moving back to the studio soon.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I will be definitely back in there. But I'm getting alerts on my phone because my 20th anniversary was yesterday. for my 20th wedding anniversary. We were supposed to be in Amsterdam yesterday. And got the alerts for the place I made dinner. I reserved dinner for, which was nice. And then we were supposed to be leaving to go to Copenhagen today. And then we would have stayed in Copenhagen for a couple days until we boarded a ship, which was a ship that was going to take us to a couple of different places over there. And thank goodness, before the coronavirus, cruises were okay, it turns out. After the coronavirus, I will never go on a cruise again in my life.
You know, it's funny. I was going to ask you about that. Like, do you think, like, would you cruise again?
Probably not. Not after what happened on those ships. No.
Yeah. Like, that didn't go well for those people at all.
The thing is, like, I've been sick on a cruise ship before. And I know it's easier to get sick on a cruise ship than it is in other places. But one thing I love about a cruise is that, especially if it's a place you want to go. Like, when you go to, the cruises down to the Caribbean are, it's just a boat that you can drink on and occasionally leave. The places are there's nothing really different about the places, mainly because you're visiting the most touristy places and they make them so Americanized that they're really indistinguishable from all the other places, right? You're not in the heart of, you know, the place where you're visiting. You're at a port. And so it's not the same thing. But I did a European cruise where I wound up, it was in the Mediterranean, and I did it with another couple that we know. And we wound up traveling, and it was awesome because you basically go to sleep and you wake up that next morning and you're at your new port. And so
you don't have to unpack.
You don't have to unpack. You're in your floating hotel. You get up in the morning and you're like, I'm at a place. And then you go do the thing you're supposed to do. And so, and that was great. And that's what we were planning on doing in this again. But everything got canceled. So, it's one of those things that right now you're just like, yeah, it's like a little tragedy and I get it, but at the same time you're a little sad for it, you know.
It is entirely okay, Cecil, to want the things that you want and to be bummed out when they can't happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because like I'll tell you a funny story. Like Haley and I were looking at like, well, we'll take a little like getaway in October.
Yeah.
You know? And not knowing what the world's gonna look like in October.
Sure.
My plan was to find some place to go there, rent a house with like a pool. And if the world is open, go explore. And if the world's not open, then at least we're someplace sunny and there's a pool and we can just relax and enjoy being, you know, with each other and by this pool. And so I was like, oh, you know where we should go is we should go to Puerto Rico. We had such a great time. We went to Puerto Rico the first time.
It's a short flight, relatively inexpensive ticket. All those stuff is good. It's
a lot of
good
things, right? So I looked at it. I found this great place, like kind of like on a mountainside for next to nothing with its own pool. And I'm like, yeah, it'll be great. So I got it. And then the next day was like, I wonder what the weather's like in October in the Caribbean. And it was like hurricane season,
asshole.
Turns out
it wasn't great, was it?
Right. Because I just forgot. Like, I just fucking straight up forgot about hurricane season. Immediately canceled everything. And I'm like, Palm Springs. Maybe Palm Springs is the way to go.
I'll tell you, man. It sucks because there's so many places right now. I went out this last week to go visit a national park because we couldn't do anything else on our anniversary. So we went to one of the local national parks here in Illinois, which is the only place for 70 miles where there's a hill. And so we went there. We have a national park around it, guys. It's called Starved Rock. And if you get stuck up there without like a granola bar, you may starve because you're from Illinois and you can't defend for yourself anymore.
Is it a state or a national park? State park?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I could be a national park. No idea. But in any case, it's a park. Where there's a valley and a hill. And so we went and we showed up and it was packed. And so we had actually had an idea that maybe we might get in the car sometime in, you know, if things start to slow down a little, you know, coronavirus wise, maybe we would go somewhere, you know, come fall to go maybe look at leaves or something, maybe drive somewhere. And, you know, and it turns out that if everything's just going to be packed like that, you know, it's going to be full of people with coronavirus. So you're going to be standing outside next to somebody without a mask on and they're going to be breathing on you asking you, do you like these leaves? You'll be like, no, I'm going to go home. I'm just going to go home and hide.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was like, well, just like, I know I got to get on an airplane, but like I'll go someplace in the desert, in a house.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's not even a hotel. Yeah. It's a house. There's nobody else in it. It's got a pool. And if the world is still a piece of shit, I'll just swim in the pool.
Yeah.
And like just enjoy a margarita that I make myself, you know.
Oh, man.
Fuck. It's crazy.
Okay, it's what crazy. Are we talking about with Twitch? What's going on with Twitch?
Nothing. It was just a Twitch thing.
Okay. Yeah, don't worry stupid. About it. Are you telling me I'm too old for it?
No, it's just a connectivity thing. And then autocorrect was making everybody scratch.
Gosh, that's great.
He just don't worry boomered you.
He like, totally
pretty
did.
Bad.
Like, I didn't okay boomer.
Okay
yeah.
boomer.
All right.
It's fine. I'm Gen X, dude. You can... What's the other one? So it's okay boomer and whatever Gen X. Is that the next one? Starved Rock is a state park, Patrick says. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, are you and I... Are you, Cecil, are you potentially... what is it? Oregon Trail generation?
I don't know. What year does that start?
That's an excellent... Oh, no. I think it's like the late... I think it's like 78 to...
No, I'm early 70s, 84. Not late 70s.
So. You're early 70s. Yeah. Okay.
Earlier right. 70s. Not...
Gotcha. Right,
not 70,
right.
but...
That's yeah. that micro-generation idea yeah. that there's like a handful of years...
Oregon Trail generation. I know Oregon Trail. I played the shit out of it when I was a kid, so...
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
There's this idea that like there's this subset of people that like grew up right in that moment, like where your childhood was defined by a lack of internet and a lack of technology, but then your adulthood and college years really like it explodes at a certain space and time in
I
your
see,
life. And it's
I
like
see.
This really small moment, but it's an important moment because like it's sort of it marks like the last technology free childhood.
Right. Okay. Come here, stupid. Get over here. Get over here, dummy.
See, stop mine won't yelling. Come on camera.
Stop yelling, fucker. Get over here. Come here, Piper. He's just going to sit in the middle of the room and fucking yell like a dick. What a dick.
Somebody said I'm looking Trump level orange. I got this crazy downlighting, guys, and next week it'll be better. So we have a new computer and lights that are coming. Things will look better. I'm not self-tanning at this kind of a level. Look at that.
This is the other one. This is the good one. This is the good baby. Hi, Puck. Say hello, Puck. Say hello. This is the skit. This one's so afraid of everybody. And he's probably mad because I'm talking loud. So he's probably going to bolt pretty soon. It's okay, buddy. Who's a good boy, huh? Oh, oh, he's afraid. He doesn't like it when I talk because I don't normally talk loud around him. So he doesn't like that.
None of my cats will come down
no,
when I'm like
because you're loud. It's just because of the noise level. That's all.
Yeah.
You know?
When I'm working, they'll come down and like knock my shit over and like walk in front of the camera when I'm like on a call,
yeah.
like for work, because I'm not like yelling and like gesticulating wildly. The whole time I'm on fucking camera, they're just like, no, man, I'm not.
He will. No. If I wasn't talking, he would put his head on my shoulder here and he would lean on me and he could fall asleep. Like I could just hold him like a baby. Like
aww.
He's a super lovable cat. It's just that, you know, if I'm talking loud to you, he's like, oh, I don't really like that. He also is hilariously will chitter when we move dishes or bang dishes around. So if I go to put, like, we start putting the dishes away, he will run around the house going, it's the funniest shit you've ever seen, dude. It's fucking hilarious. He gets so mad. He gets so angry. So, all right, we're getting a few people and we should probably do a story time. I wanted to actually start out, if we can, is there any way you can call up the story about the pig mask? Because I thought to myself...
We begin at 6 with that cyber-stalking case involving...
It's about cyber-stalking. I don't want to play that for anybody. Hopefully everybody heard that clip. But I don't want to play this because it's someone else's news reporting, which we don't need to cover. But no. I do want to talk a little bit about the cyber-stalking case. So, Tom, if you can start that off. I know you have it.
Yeah, this story is fucking nuts. It's from NBC Boston. I'm going to have to read a big chunk of this, right? Because there's just no way not to. Former eBay employees sent cockroaches.
Okay, wait,
bloody
hold on. We
got to
stop right there. So,
yeah.
Now, were they real cockroaches?
They were. They're live cockroaches.
What's the dollar value of a cockroach?
I looked at this because I was curious. You would be incredibly distressed to know the kinds and quantities of bugs you could just ship to people if you'd like to. You could ship like 10,000 ladybugs to someone
Why
if you want. For
so
like
mean.
Nothing.
It's so
Dude,
mean.
I am so glad, and I mean this, I am so glad that I am a grown-up now and not a kid.
I know,
because 100%, there is a 0% chance that if I had this information, that I would not be like, I marginally don't like somebody.
You would be
the
working.
Shit I did for people, I was just like casually annoyed
you
by.
You would be working extra hours at your Burger King job just to buy those ladybugs.
100%. 100%. I'd be like, wait a minute. I don't like somebody. I could send 10,000 ladybugs to their house. Guess who's got 10,000 ladybugs coming every day for a year?
It's worse than a glitter bomb because it's alive.
Yes. They're like, get in your walls and die and stink
Jesus
and shit.
Jesus Christ. That's such a rude thing to do. Okay,
it's terrible.
I didn't realize that they were alive. I thought they were big fake cockroaches. I didn't realize they were alive cockroaches. Dude,
you can send ladybugs. You can send cockroaches. You can send butterflies. You can send spiders to people.
Death heads moss? Do I have to do the death head moss?
I don't know. Like you might be able
like
to.
Like they did on Silence of the Lambs.
I have a story about butterflies. I went to a wedding once.
Please don't say, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. Don't say it.
I put the lotion in the basket. I went to a wedding once where they had a thing where they were going to like release this box of beautiful butterflies. And then the butterflies were, of course, supposed to do their job, which is to like flutter gently about in an array of In a swarm of lively colors.
I'm not a psychic, but I feel like I need to hold an envelope up to my head like Karnak and give you a prediction of what's going to happen here.
The best man at this wedding had this box.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah.
And he's got, it's like a nice box, but it's a box within this nice box, right? And like, so the vows are said and the couple is adoringly gazing into their pre-divorced eyes and they're, you know, having their moment.
Oh, Jesus
and then
Christ.
Well, they got divorced, so it's fine. It's funny. So then, and then later, the best man opens the box, and nothing happens. But there's this like pregnant pause,
something
right?
Happened.
Because, so he opens the box, and I shit you not, he looks at it, and this is why, like right now, I'm glad we're on camera. He looks at it. And he just shakes it and dumps this box of fucking dead butterflies out. Onto the ground, right in front of, just like,
God. Oh my God,
it's fucking
that's
amazing.
Unreal. That's a level.
And you know me, I'm sitting there, and it's me, and I'm trying to do that thing where like my body is laughing and I can't stop it. So tears are coursing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm red faced, but I'm silent because I am not going to be that
not
guy.
Not going to be that guy. Good for
but
you,
I am,
Tom. Good for
I'm
you.
I'm dying. I am absolutely dying because he's just shaking out this fucking box of fucking dead bugs.
It reminds me of when we went to the fucking Noah's Ark Museum, the fucking Creation Museum or whatever
break.
It is. And we're standing there and I fucking scolded you before we walked in. I was like, you will not be an asshole to these credulous dipshits that are lining their fucking scooters up these ramps. You will not do that to them. As soon as we walk in, the first thing, I cannot stop laughing at the fucking turtle with no shell. I was just like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. And both of us are holding each other, just crying and scream laughing in the middle of that place. Couldn't help it. Oh, so good.
Oh, God.
One of my favorite photos of that, too, is us just with huge smiles on our face with the fucking, the line that says, and they all died. And they all died.
You're like, this is the least self-conscious place on earth.
It's like some asshole
least self-aware.
Brings his kid in there. He's like, see, they all died. Isn't that great, son? Let's go out and look at something else. Let's go look at the brooms they used to push the shit around. Yeah.
Love that, like, they make like all this like Noah's Ark. They make all this Noah's Ark kid shit. There's like Noah's Ark pajamas and like Noah's Ark like wall decals and borders. And it's like, it's a genocide.
I know. It's like
of every species on the planet.
It's like having like like the Jewish tattoos lining the top of it. You're just like, are you that self unaware? Like, it's like having God. Like, it's like having little gift canisters of Zyklon B you're giving away in the gift shop. It's terrifying. I can't believe it. But they're all just like smiling. Oh, isn't it great that God murdered everybody? Wasn't that cool, guys?
Oh my God. Oh,
that was a great, that was a fucking hilarious trip. All right, let's do this. Okay, wait, I stopped your cockroaches.
Jesus.
I apologize. Let's continue.
All right. Bloody pig mask to bloody Massachusetts couple.
Hold on.
I stopped at cockroaches.
Now, the bloody pig mask isn't a real, like, someone sawed it off an actual pig. This is just a fake, like, plastic bloody pig mask that somebody might get delivered.
They sent all this to a couple in a harassment campaign.
Yeah.
Six! This thing gets crazy. Six former employees of eBay have been charged with cyberstalking for allegedly waging a harassment campaign against a Natick, Massachusetts couple behind an online newsletter that criticized the e-commerce site.
Wait, eBay still exists?
I've bought stuff relatively recently.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you a quick story. So my anniversary is in May. And so I proposed while I was on a hot air balloon. So I thought I had this great idea. I was like, oh, I'm going to get like a hot air balloon themed like anniversary thing. So we'll do a hot air balloon ride. And then I found this like hot air balloon, like Swarovski, like crystal thing.
Okay. Yeah,
juber. And then later that day, I found this Swarovski hot air balloon pendant, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't buy it from the website because it's only sold in their like Asian line, right? Okay. So I found it on eBay. And I found the thing on eBay. And I reached out to the guy. I was like, look, I'll buy your little doohickey. But can you, because you're in Asia, can you buy this pendant and then sell it to me on eBay? And the guy's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to upcharge you. And I was like, it's the only way I can get it. I can't get it otherwise. Yeah, yeah. So like, I actually found a guy on eBay to buy something for me to sell it back to me on eBay. But it's the only way to get it. All right. So evidently we hate eBay.
Okay, so hold on.
eBay's
so,
got a shitty newsletter.
I got to ask one question. So they get sent... The former eBay employee sent cockroaches and a bloody pig mask to him. And did they get a message back that said, thank you so much, I found my kink now? Because that would be amazing.
Do you have this in a different color? We already have this one. All right, so Lelig said the executives were enraged by the coverage of the company on the couple's website. One allegedly said he wanted to crush this lady, referring to the woman in the couple that ran the site. Lelig called it a systematic campaign fueled by the resources of a Fortune 500 company to emotionally and psychologically terrorize a middle-aged couple.
Jesus Christ!
It gets crazier.
Why on earth? What is happening? Like, why are you so invested in your job? If somebody said, I hate your job, I hate where you work, I'd be like, I don't care about you.
I literally thought the same thing. If somebody was like, I wrote a newsletter about how much I don't like where you work, I'd be like, I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah, right. Hey, can we get together for a beer and hate on where I work for a little while?
who is that? Like, unless where I work is at home for myself.
No shit.
Like, I'm not that invested. If somebody was like, Tom, I wrote a newsletter about how much I don't like Tom, I'd be like, that's a lot of effort. That seems like you did a lot of work. Like, bravo. You know what? Let me read it. I'd probably be like, you know what? I agree with points 3 through 7. Points 3 through 7, you got me. Like, yeah, not
exactly,
a really good guy.
Exactly.
So the employees allegedly involved in the scheme were these people I'm not going to name because who cares? Harville was arrested Monday morning somewhere. It doesn't matter where. All of them are being charged with conspiracy to commit cyberstalking, conspiracy to tamper with an investigation. Beginning in August of last year, this guy allegedly directed the employees to set up anonymous email and phone accounts and use them to send the couple disturbing packages paid for with prepaid debit cards. The couple also allegedly received threatening letters online and were surveilled in the Boston area. The packages sent to the customer's home included fly larvae, spiders,
Jesus fucking Christ.
A box of cockroaches.
What the fuck, man?
A sympathy wreath on the occasion of the death of a loved one.
Aw.
A book of advice on how to survive the death of a spouse, and pornography sent to the neighbors' houses under the couple's names. So their neighbors are like,
sorry.
I think I got your copy of Jugs.
Yeah.
This is your jug. It says, your name on it. Jugs, it's for you.
I got these two copies of Donkey Punch here. They're right here. That's amazing, though. That's great. Hey, man, free porn. I don't care if it goes to the neighbors. Whatever. That, fuck them.
All the time, like, I accidentally opened the wrong Amazon package. It got delivered, and it was a fleshlight inside.
That's killer, man.
Like, I was just like, okay. All right, well, this is awkward. I know the neighbor. Okay.
You just put it in a paper bag, light it on fire, and press their doorbell and run away.
The best part is it was only a replacement insert because that means I now know the neighbor wore out his old fleshlight.
Fucking A, man. You should give him glory at checkout as a code. If he's going through them that fast, be like, by the way, you don't have to do this through Amazon. You get a 50% off almost any item. That includes to resheathe your fleshlight.
Other packages included a Halloween mask featuring the face of a bloody pig. A bloody pig fetus was ordered, and I love this, but never sent due to questions from the supplier. Like, presumably, like, are you sending this in a campaign of systematic harassment to a couple writing a newsletter? Who even writes a newsletter in 2020?
That's amazing.
It's just astonishing. Then it says, this was a determined systematic effort by senior employees of a major company to destroy the lives of a couple, all because they published content the company executives didn't like.
Jesus.
For a while, they succeeded, psychologically devastating these people for weeks as they desperately tried to figure out what was going on. Then they doubled down. The senior manager of this place allegedly ordered to set up a social media account through which threats were sent to the couple. The profanity-laced messages took credit for those deliveries and were crafted to appear as if written by eBay users who disapproved of the couple's website. One message after the pig mask was sent read, "Do I have your attention now?" Later, the defendants posted a classified ad on Craigslist, purportedly from the couple, inviting singles, couples, and swingers over to their house to party every night, telling them to knock on the door. Then they flew to Boston from California to surveil the couple at their house and around Natick as they moved. This allegedly included an attempt to break into the couple's garage and install a GPS system on their car.
Fuck!
It's like a fucking episode of The Americans. Are you kidding me? Jesus God, this is incredible. The couple was followed around in rental cars. Then this guy allegedly waged a campaign to manipulate the couple into thinking that eBay was attempting to help them stop the harassment that he was doing. Gilbert, the manager of special operations, who took that title way too seriously.
No shit.
Right? Allegedly called the couple seeking to help investigate the harassment. So they do all this shit. Then they're like, yeah, we're calling from eBay. We can totally help you with the shit we're fucking doing.
That's unreal.
Also, I'm outside your house right now.
Yeah. No, I have your fucking dog in a headlock right now.
Punch Jesus him in the Christ. Face.
It's unreal.
What is even happening?
That's an unreal level of fucking of dedication to your shitty company. Let me tell you, man.
You got six people like that up in arms like, all right, buy plane tickets, Fred. No. We are going to Massachusetts. We are going to fuck over these old people.
Be a shame
who wrote
something
a newsletter.
Be a real fucking shame if something were to happen to your fucking newsletter. You know what I'm saying, yeah. Huh? I might fucking knock this thing over, maybe take all the typeset out of this newsletter printing press. I might fuck with your kerning, huh? How would you like that, motherfucker? Fucking weirdo. Jesus
Christ. What the fuck? Like, somebody's using Cecil their vacation days. Right?
I know, right?
Somebody's using their vacation time to
God
do this.
Damn. Oh, all right. Well, let's go. Let's take a like chat for a minute. Stalking can be a hobby, Cecil knows. Yeah, let me tell you, man. There's heavy breathing outside my door every time Eli's in town. And it's just because he just climbed the stairs, that's all.
God damn. Yeah, did Eli get caught again? Someone's asking if I ever seen the video of the dove release into traffic.
Oh, Jesus
I have
fucking
not.
Christ.
I have seen videos, though, where they, like, release a dove and then, like, a fucking bird of prey, like a hawk swoops down and grabs it.
You know what you got to do is release a dove at Randy Johnson's wedding. Have you ever seen Randy Johnson throw the pitch and hit that pigeon and kill it?
No, what?
Randy Johnson. What? Randy Johnson, I think that's who it was. Was like a Diamondbacks pitcher, and he throws a pitch at like 102 miles an hour, and he just happened to throw it just as a pigeon's going by, and the thing explodes in feathers, and he looks, and he's looking around like, did I just fucking kill a pigeon? And he's like, you just killed a fucking pigeon, dude. The thing just fucking blows up like someone planted a fucking IED in it, dude. It's just like, poof, he explodes the fuck out of that pigeon.
It's almost like, we shouldn't use like living things as props for our special occasions.
Exactly, right? Yeah, no kidding. Cecil is drinking a gin and tonic. It's got a really squashed up piece of lime in it, but I'm drinking it.
Still working on the botanist?
Yeah, actually, I was drinking some of that tonight and actually had a sip of it before I put the tonic in. And that's actually a really good sipping gin. It's just a tasty gin. Yeah.
It's a good alcohol. That's a good spirit, man, for sure.
Someone posted it. Hold on. Somebody posted it. I don't know if I can share it with you, Tom.
The video?
Somebody posted it.
Tell me when, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call it up, and we can go a little 3-2-1 action.
All right. So I'm going to call it up. Hold on. I got to pause it. Okay. So, Tom, go ahead. And it's a minute 47. So go ahead and you tell me when you're ready.
Go, we'll do a countdown. 3-2-1 go.
Hey, guys. Welcome to The Fumble. I'm Crystal Marie. Randy Johnson is a man of distinction, the big unit who joined
big
Pedro
unit.
Martinez,
Caliente.
Fred Biggio, and John Smoltz as the newest member of the
Baseball
Hall of Fame.
He's a big unit. Jesus, fuck. Look at the size of that fucking guy.
He's enormous.
Jesus.
The 6'11" hurler struck out 10.61 ballers.
Getty Images, everybody. It's Getty Images.
Still the highest mark
ever.
He's
a big sumbitch.
His 4,875 strikeouts are the second most.
Okay, because he just reaches over with that fucking reach and puts it in the catcher's.
It's 20 seconds or so from now. So I'm just talking over it. So we don't get.
The all-time
I mean, they're using Getty Images. We can certainly use their fucking
and he's
shit.
Also
there's
the only
a fucking
pitcher in recording to accidentally explode a bird with one of his pitches.
Oh my God! You're not kidding. It just explodes.
Did they show it?
Right in the middle of.
Here we go. They are going to show it. It's about another 20 seconds. They're going to show the actual explosion.
Oh,
look at that pigeon.
Flew between Johnson and the San Francisco Giants.
Here we go. I'll be quiet. Here we go. Oh Jesus fucking Christ! Instant replay in slow motion. Here we go. Here we go, folks. Good Lord. That's perfect.
It explodes.
Oh, you fucked that pigeon up.
It's just gone. Oh, my God.
Yeah, sorry, I'm pausing. I'm done. Okay. Just so everybody saw it. I know. I'm sure everybody who's like a vegetarian in the artist is super mad at us, but I'm
genuine
sorry.
Genuine question.
Yeah.
What do they call that pitch?
What do they call what pitch?
Was it a do-over?
Oh,
like is it a ball? Is it a strike?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were saying like what was the name of the pitch? It's not a sinker. It's a what is it?
It's a
fucking
changeup.
He fucking
I don't know.
Winged him. I don't know. It's a wing like, and a prayer. Is the name of the pitch? No, I don't know what you.
They
do.
Call that the stinger. They don't let you
any,
use
are
it.
Are there
anymore.
Any baseball fans that could tell us what exactly would have happened in that situation? Like what would they have called it a do over? Would they say it's a ball? Would they say it's a strike? I would imagine it would be a do-over. I imagine that it wouldn't be
a foul ball.
Foul ball. Why didn't we think of that? Why didn't I think of that? That's a really good. I should have thought of that. Foul ball is good.
Oh, it's
good.
Perfect.
A foul ball is good. Yeah, I should have thought of that.
Definitely a strike.
Hey guys, we already got foul ball. Somebody already said it. The 40 foul balls don't make it more funny.
What?
It's a birdie. That's pretty good. I like that. Clever. Repitch. Somebody says repitch.
Is that a thing?
I guess.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
You know, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
I don't know.
Never watched a baseball game. So.
You've never watched a baseball game?
I have been to baseball games, but I've never watched it while I was there. Like, I'll watch it for a little while, but like, there's never been a baseball game that's kept my attention start to finish.
Sure, sure.
Where I'm just like, paying attention.
We thought for sure we were going to have a good time. We went to in Joliet. So Sarah and I used to live rurally, right? Joliet, Illinois is about 40 miles southwest of Chicago. And that's where the train lets off. And we used to live a little farther away from that. And then we'd, you know, commute to Chicago every day. And there's a team there called the Joliet Jackhammers. They're a minor league team. And we thought for sure we would have a good time, maybe go watch the Jackhammers one day. Cause you know, it's, we have had fun going to random sports events that we don't really care about and just enjoying sort of the atmosphere for a little while and then leaving. Yeah. Like I don't give a shit about the Sox, but on occasion it's fun to go down and just, you know, eat a hot dog in the stands, watch, you know, some pitching, maybe drink a bad imported beer and then leave. You know what I mean? Like we don't ever stay for the whole thing. We almost always show up late and then we leave early, but we have fun, you know, just sort of being in that atmosphere. We thought we were going to have a great time at this Jackhammers game. It's the worst time I ever had. It was so bad. This mom comes in with like 35 kids, sits them all behind us, and then says, "Have fun, kids," and then goes down to the beer garden and just leaves all the kids.
Just is
fucking pieced out. And all these kids, every kid took turns kicking my chair. It was like the worst fucking time ever. It was so bad. And like every few seconds, they have to tell you that a new thing is sponsored by a new thing. So they'll say, "And this is the Joe Rizzaford pitch of the game." And then Joe Rizzaford truck drives around and then they throw the pitch and they're like, "And this is the Joe Rizzaford stealing a base of the game." And then Joe Rizzaford, I'm just like, what the fuck, man? They're stopping play every third second to do some kind of plug for something. And I was just like, after like two outs, I looked at Sarah and I was like, "We need to go." It's like 4 hours in and they haven't even thrown an inning yet. And they keep on just talking about all the, you know, guess what? It's tall grass where you want to go out and eat every time you go out to eat the tall grass, blah, blah, blah. And then it's the worst. It's genuinely the worst thing. It's so bad.
I've been a Jackhammers game and a King County Cougars game and one other, a couple of them for work, but like, you're right. Every fucking thing is sponsored. And at some point you have to watch a hot dog race a soda pop.
Yeah.
you're just like, exactly. What? Like, what? Why do I like, it's exactly. Like, who's going to win? And the crowd's like, "Go hot dog." And you're just like, I'm going home.
I've never been that excited about a hot dog in my life. Calm down, lady.
I am leaving. There is no way.
Oh man.
I once had to go to a minor league baseball game at King for the first really bad job I had, the first really bad title company, the one where like everybody was drug addicts and like it was crazy there. I had to go on a Saturday. It was mandatory fun. And I had a funeral I had to go to that same day. And the boss was literally like, "Well, you need to come to the baseball game after the funeral." And I was like, what? I have a fucking I have a funeral. So I showed up in like a suit and everything. And my boss, this guy, Tony, was like, "Why are you all dressed up?" And I'm like, "You made me come here on a Saturday from a funeral." And he's like, "You didn't stop and change?" I'm like, "I didn't want to be here at all." "No, man. I was thinking about the funeral when I got dressed, not the baseball game."
Oh, man.
Dick.
That sucks so bad. I've never been to anything other than like, I've only been to one other sort of semi-pro thing, and that was the Arena League. Do you remember our buddy had the Arena League tickets?
Chicago Rush. I went to one of those.
Those were fun because those people are really into that game. I wasn't into it, but they were so into it. The crowd was so into it. It was fun to be there.
Absolutely.
The crowd just had a blast. So it was like fun to watch them have fun.
Yep. Did not care about the outcome. Don't even remember anything about it except for just like there's just a huge energy to just being there with a bunch of excited yahoos. Yeah. And you're like, "I'm also a yahoo."
There was a guy who had season tickets who I'm sure high-fived you. He high-fived me. Because they scored, he would just turn around and be like, "High five all around." And he's high-fiving everybody. It was great. All right, let's do another story. So I want to do this one. John Guandolo calls on Trump to take direct military action to prevent formation of Sharia adherent police department. Now it's a talkie.
Okay.
So there's nothing to see. So I'm just going to play the clip here. But this is John Guano or whatever his name is. And he's talking to somebody on some other show. I don't know what other show it is. It's a conference, some kind of conference call. Who cares? All right, we're going to play it.
The Minneapolis police.
And also, guys, tell me if you can hear
this. The Minneapolis Police Department is probably going to be disbanded. And what do you think they're going to replace it with in Minneapolis? It's going to be a Sharia adherent police department.
That or small clowns. It's either one or the other. I would say small clowns probably could intimidate the public even better than police officers. If it was little clowns,
they would go through all the effort of disbanding the police only to reband the police differently. Like, they fire all their cops, like, now we need religious cops. Like, that's just cops. Well, just a, what the fuck?
Would it be like what they have in Saudi Arabia, which is like that magic force or whatever it is? The magic squad, whatever, the Harry Potter house that's there or whatever.
Yeah, the fucking dark arts people. Fucking, just like
fucking horcrux or whatever they're called.
Oh, they're not going to call it that. They're going to call it, you see these phrases they're using, you know, a transformative civil policing force.
God, what kind of fucking communists are you? What the fuck is wrong with you? You want a transformative police force? How fucking dare you, you evil son of a bitch?
You know, I can read between the lines. That definitely means fundamentalist Islam.
Can you imagine?
What the fuck? Why would that mean fundamentalist anything?
Going through your head. Oh, I love it when they say, well, guys, I know what they're saying when they say lovey huggy bears. I know what they're saying. They're saying evil knifey bears. That's what they're saying.
Okay, guys, here's the deal. So a hot dog is a boy and pizza is a guy.
What is that? It's a throwback to the Podesta emails there.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, God.
As soon as it's established, the majority of people hired, although they won't, the first people they hired will be, you know, a white guy or a white girl, a black guy, it'll look like, and they'll say, you know, we've got Asians, we've got Hispanics, we've got blacks. It's just representative of our community. But the people running it will be jihadis. And that will be the
important thing. Why would you think this? Like, what in the world? Like, this is like a level of like predicting into the future that like there's no reason to think that he is true about any of this. Where does he get? Okay, so here you could easily say the same. So what they're gonna do is they're gonna hire a white guy, they're gonna hire a black guy, and they're gonna hire an Asian guy, and they're gonna say that's representative of our community. But in the background, the Transformers will be in charge.
I know. Yeah.
It'll really be Bumblebee who's calling the shots.
And when you turn your head, all those guys will turn into a police Voltron. And it will, and it'll have a prayer mat and they'll do their Sharia praying. You know, it reminds me of, it's like packing fear on fear. It reminds me of, remember that pork bullet story we covered?
Yes.
like, not only are they going to shoot at you, but they're going to shoot at you with a bullet covered in pig blood. And that'll really fuck you up.
Yeah, that'll ruin your day. You're like, you got shot and you're like, oh, at least it doesn't have pig blood on it.
I wonder if you could make a BLT out of those bullets. A bullet, lettuce, and tomato. I wonder if you could do that.
Here's the point. I want you to think, neither of these movements do willy-nilly. So when the number two guy in a committee on Capitol Hill...
Wait, what two movements don't do willy-nilly?
Bowel movements.
Well, you got to have an apple a day, man. just got to like, just apple a day and a big cup of coffee.
Either
boom.
Apple a day or go to the doctor. Those are your two options.
Number two guy for a major committee.
Number two guy. Number two guy. He knows what we're talking about.
As a member of Congress... decides he's going to step down and become the attorney general of a state, Keith Ellison, if that's not a red flag for you that something's amiss, do you understand Keith Ellison is going to be the Islamic leader of Minnesota?
With a name like Ellison, it has to be true.
Well, I don't know anything about that guy, but I also do know this. The attorney general is not in charge. Like, the attorney general is not the leader of the state. We call that the governor. And when you don't like him, you could just pick a different governor.
No shit.
It's not autocrat of the state.
God.
What we're talking about. And if you think that's not where this is going, then you don't understand what's going on. That's real. It's happening. They're literally... If it happens this week, it won't surprise me that they disband.
If it happens never, it won't surprise me because none of your predictions have ever come true, ever. Not one.
Surprise me that they disband a municipal police department in a major metropolitan area and replace it with a shred. That is your sign. And I said it and have been saying it for years And my critics, including in open court, people suing me, the former sheriff of Minneapolis suing me, they called me a lunatic.
Ian, you got to get that clip. That's amazing. Suing me in open court, they called me a lunatic.
You know, like, when you have, like, a host of open critics in court calling you a lunatic, maybe that's a point where you reevaluate your stance on all the things you're being called a lunatic about. You're, like, predicting something for years, which doesn't happen, and then people are like, you sound crazy. That's because you fucking sound crazy.
Do you remember that guy who predicted the end of the world, Harold Camping?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is he still alive?
No, he died a few years back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, so the world did end for him.
It did. Okay. Yeah, he was right once. He was right. Everybody's right about that once.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I've been seeing a lot of commentary about police leaving. I also, by the way, some people like to, they think I say police weird. I don't know why. I guess I say police and they think I should say police, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, you don't emphasize the O?
I don't emphasize the O. I just say police. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
police.
Police. I don't know. Rough, anyway.
Roof.
Yeah, I also say both. So go fuck yourself up there. You know, there's been seen a lot of these people, these cops that have been saying, oh, they're going to leave because of all the restrictions that are going to be in the future on them. You know, they're going to leave. They're not going to keep their posts because of it. And you gotta say out loud, if the reason you're leaving is there's restrictions, like then you were only in it to be an asshole. You were only in it to be a fuckhead. Because you were told me a story a while back. About, and I don't remember what function of, whether it was daycare or your kid's school or something, had this new rule that no one could be left alone with a child, right? You said, I don't remember what place it was, but you said some place that you interacted with your children, would not have one adult in a room alone with a child. That was not allowed. They would have to, there would always have to be two adults in the room with multiple children or something, right? And could you imagine if somebody came out and immediately protested that and quit that job? What would you think of that person?
Yeah, right? Like,
how
I
want to
be alone with kids.
Yeah, how would that reflect on that person, right? If they said, well, I can't just be alone in a room with children by myself? What is the world coming to? I quit, you know? Wouldn't you be like, okay, that's a good thing that you quit. No, I think we're all happy. We're all happy here, right? Everybody raises their hand. We're all happy. Everybody's raising their hand. Same thing with these cops. They're like, well, you're going to put more regulations on me. Well, I'm going to quit. Be like, good. You were probably not a very good cop anyway. You were probably a really bad cop.
Take your fucking GED and go get a job doing something else. Yeah. Like, who fucking cares? Like, what? The thing is, like, first of all, I think it's honestly an empty threat. First and foremost, like, it's an empty threat because, like, a lot of people would be thrilled if a lot of the police quit and we were able to replace them with people that we trained in a different, more compassionate way.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just hard to train out bad behavior.
Sure.
So it's easier to train in good behavior.
Sure.
So like if all the police were like, I'm so mad I quit, you'd be like, cool, I'll just replace you. Also, it's an empty threat because like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you're not like going to take your job. I've been a cop for 15 years. I'm going to go get a job. Okay, great. Doing what? Security guard? TSA guy? Like the world is not your oyster. You have a very specific skill set. So like it's an empty threat in all directions. First, if you do it, no one cares. Second, like, yeah, you're also probably not going to do that.
To be honest, I think so many people in this country are in that exact same position. Right?
Yeah.
You've done something for so many years. It's almost an empty threat.
Me.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably in that position too, where I'd be like, if I were to say, well, fuck you, I quit. They'd be like, fine, quit. The fuck? Yeah. I can find some kid out of college who could do the exact same thing I could do for half the price. So I'll find that kid, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's also like, it's an empty threat for a lot of people because it's like, once you've done something long enough, that's mostly what you're qualified to do.
Right.
So any change is going to necessitate, is my point. Like about like the TSA joke, like any change is going to necessitate like taking a massive reduction in your pay and lifestyle,
yeah,
which most people just aren't willing to do.
Yeah.
They're willing to make a bunch of fucking noise and be like, brr, 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 brr. But, you know, like, get the fuck out of here.
Did you see
what are you going to do? What? And tell me more about your skill set. Well, when people don't do what I say, I hit them with a stick. Well, what if that doesn't work? Well, then sometimes I zap them with electricity.
You know where you'd fit in perfectly? Public school system. Come on with us.
Right. Yeah. Let's seriously, you could teach high school history.
Yeah.
Or work in corrections.
Yeah. You know, did you see this week that woman who, the police officer who didn't get her McMuffin? Did you see this? The crying woman who didn't get her McMuffin?
No. No.
This woman has a breakdown telling people how she's not sure she can go on because they messed up her order at McDonald's and now she's afraid to go back because she thinks they might be spitting on her food or whatever. So she has this breakdown. You should watch this breakdown happen where she's bawling. And I saw so many great comments, and the comments were, I'm so glad they trust this woman with a gun. And if she feels afraid, she can shoot me. She's allowed to shoot me. You know what I mean? Like this woman who's having a breakdown over a fucking McMuffin. Over fucking fast food, which everybody fucks up anyway. I love Portillo's. Yeah. I fucking love Portillo's. I think Portillo's is a great place. I enjoy the sandwiches that I get from there. I like it a lot. Every single time I've been to Portillo's in my lifetime, they haven't gotten my order right. Not a single time. Everything is wrong every single time, no matter what happens. I could enunciate perfectly. I could hand them a fucking hand-chiseled, carved fucking stone tablet with my order on it, and they would fucking break it like it's the fucking Ten Commandments. Where it's 15, 10 commandments. Fuck Cecil's order. I don't even care. They would fucking, it doesn't even matter to them. They don't give a shit.
And you don't even order like Eli shit where it's like, I want a beef sandwich with no beef.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like.
I would like you to, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take and pour a tomato juice and then hold it under your arm until it's to temperature and then hand it to me. I don't do that. I say, I'd like a beef sandwich with jardiniere on the side. And I'd also like a combo with, I'd like it to be a big beef combo. I say big beef combo, genuinely, most of the time they will forget the sausage. Almost every time they'll just forget. They'll just forget it. And they'll still charge me for a combo.
Yeah, they still got charged for it.
You may have paid for a combo. You didn't get a combo, but you paid for a combo. So it's so annoying. But here's the thing. It's like, that's just the nature of that place. And it's the nature of almost all fast food.
They're doing
things quickly. They sometimes don't check the order. You shouldn't have a breakdown in the fucking parking lot because they got your order wrong and they're trying. They're not singling you out. They're bad to everybody.
I love how insanely tone deaf that whole thing is, though, because it's like people are treating me based on my appearance in a way that marginalizes me. And that makes my life worse.
Right.
That's what she's saying.
Everybody was like, no, that's a leopards ate my face moment. Where they're just like, they're like, I can't believe these leopards ate my face. And you're like, they're leopards. They eat faces. That's what they do. And it's genuinely that moment where she doesn't even realize that she's enunciating the whole systemic problem. She's saying it out loud. She's saying, I can't believe someone is prejudging me for how I look and how I, and for the actions of other people. And you're just like, it's the dumbest shit you've ever seen.
God damn.
Next week, let's see, we're going to do the, I think I'm going to do that spam video this week. So we bought the spam.
Are you going to do it?
We bought the spam. It's sitting on my counter over there. So we are going to do that spam video. So I should have it next week, guys. So I should be doing a spam video. And that should be airing. We're going to figure out a way to air it. We might premiere. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to
play it on stream.
I'm going to play it on stream. Do I just play it on my computer? But Tom really can't enjoy it then too.
Well, you can watch it on Mixer.
Okay.
And that way it's instant.
All right, I'll try to make it brief so we can watch it all. And then
my next week, so I should have another computer.
Oh, that's right.
So I could I could figure it out.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. All right, well, we're going to do that next week. So that's going to wrap the stream up tonight, guys. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out.
This was great, guys.
Next week. So join us then, 9 p.m. Central Time. Hopefully, everything will go well, and we'll see you all, and you guys will be safe. So long, everybody. Bye.
Take care, guys.
Enjoy.
Tell your stream friends we're here.
Enjoy your week and come back next week. We'll see you guys.
Yep.
We love you too, Ellen.
Aww.